great. Far you
sing it unto him now.
Lord, prepare me
to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, he tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary before you.
Amen and amen. Just make me a sanctuary for the Lord. That's what you want. You want to give that to Brother Orr. He left his Bible last Sunday. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Enjoyed the singing and all.
Amen.
If you'd like to turn in Revelation 5, we will read verse 1 through 7. Good to see Sister Bridget back there with us. Why didn't you get her to sing? Oh, was that you singing? I couldn't tell. I was wondering. I thought it was Sister Harris, and I couldn't recognize her. I thought, that doesn't sound like Sister Harris. So, sorry about that, sis. Hadn't heard any singing in so long. And what I was doing, I was laughing because who was it? Trying to think of who it was. Maybe she can, but some preacher, he said, my wife could sing like that, said I'd have her singing me to sleep every night. I forgot who it was. I'll think of the name of it in a little bit. But anyhow, good to be in the house of the Lord. Revelation 5. Just remember that the Bible study will be this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock. So come and be with us and pray that the Lord would bless and guide each one of us. And the fellowship meeting will be at Brother Pageant's on the third Saturday. So remember that. If anybody wants to go and all together, we'll try to ride together. And also remember that I'll be leaving, Lord willing, on the 7th to go to Jamaica to be there through the weekend preaching for him. So it sounded like we're going to have a good time. I have to travel a long ways from one to the other, but that'll be all right. No problem. But that's what they say. No problem. Amen. Father, we thank you for your love and thank you for the day and the hour that we're living. Thank you for your grace. Truly, it is sufficient for all of our needs. And Father, we pray that you would just bless us with your presence now and that you would speak to our hearts because, Lord, as we talk about you, we know that's wonderful. As we meditate upon thy word, it's wonderful. But when you come on the scene and just one word from you is worth more than all of the vocabulary that the human mind of man could ever come up with. So just come and speak to our hearts. Forgive our sins and lead us, Father, and keep us, Lord, just direct your light and your love to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation 5, we'll go 1 through 7. Because we're not going to get on to what we're doing just on the book. We're not going to get on to the one that's worthy. We're just staying with the book part right now. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. What a wonderful book. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and in the midst of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, what kind of a book is it? What kind of a book are we reading? Look in Psalms 139. We'll get these. That was why I had you just to be seated before we read these. Look at Psalms 139, verse 16. Thine eyes shall see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. What kind of a book is it? It's a book of names. A book of names. Because that's what he just said there. All right? Exodus, Moses and his time upon the mountain and coming back down, and the children of Israel and their sin, and he was talking about blot out my name. So Exodus 32, verse 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. So it's a book of names. All right? But it's also a book of deeds. What kind of book is in the hand of the one sitting on the throne? It's the Bible, as we call it today. It's a book of names of all of the people upon the earth. You know, now not everybody's name, period, as we would say, but the names of the people upon the earth for the time that they're living. Then Brother Brown said, Armand Neville's not written in the Bible, but said what's being done upon earth at the time, said that put his name in the book, see, in the where we're at. Alright? So it's a book of names, and it's a book of deeds, or a record of mankind upon the earth. Alright, we'll find out when we get on over there one of these days that it has to be a record, and that's why that your name can be in the book of life, and Judas's name was, but not in the eternal section of the book of life, which is the Lamb's book of life, you know, the eternal section. Alright, it can't be there, because if it's there, it can never be removed. Alright? But his name could be removed and all like that. So Moses was saying, now take my name out if you're going to blot them out. If you go on down reading, you'll find God says, okay, Moses, I abide by what you're saying. Brother Brown said that was Christ in Moses that could show God a better way of doing something. Now that's his terms. All right? But he said, then, see, he says to Moses, God does back to Moses, says, Moses, I'll do what you say. See, it's a record. I'll do what you say. But when I visit, I'll visit upon the names I visit. I'll blot out. That didn't end it all for him. It just, in other words, it just took it for a little while and placed it aside until the end. And he said, I won't destroy these people. I'll let you take them over. You know, but said, they'll go on to the end of the land, but I'll visit who I visit. I'll blot out who I blot out. And he did, you know. And that's what it is. But it's the Bible. See, the book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. It's a great book. No one's worthy. That's why the prophet said that we have no right to read the book, the Bible, until we first ask permission from the author. That's why I always pray, you know, before that I read the scripture. Because you don't have a right to read it. It's so marvelous a book, and we'll find out eventually that none of us are worthy to even look on it, let alone to read it. Right. It's a marvelous book, wonderful book. But take it as a book of names, and take it as what I've been trying to get you to see. And that the Bible then is a book of names. It's got Peter, James, and John. It's got in there, someone's name is in the Bible. Now listen, to cover all the time upon the earth. The prophet said God has always had a witness. So no matter what age it's in, no matter where it's at, that's why it's down like it is, you know, and comes down through time down to where we are. All right? And see, you say, well, my name's not there. That's what I've been trying my best to get you to see. The book of Revelation shows you your name there. That's what it's showing you. I've tried my best to get you to see that. That is the bride's book. You know, it's the book of the record of the people. Sure, it's recording what's going on out here. Right, all right, all that's going on. But all the way down through that, remember, it is a record, even to like the book of Esther. The word God is not even mentioned in the book of Esther. And really, it's placed in because of, it's a beautiful story, wonderful, but it's really put there because of a record to cover the children of Israel and how that, what this happened to them to do this, and, you know, how they were spared there. It's placed in the book. So then it's a wonderful book. It's a great opportunity to be able to just read the Bible. The Bible says you're blessed to just be able to read. Blessed to just be able to read. You know, there's a lot of people even in the world today, as modern as it is, and all of the things, you know that there's a lot of people that have never read the Bible. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have the Bible. You know, there's a lot of people that can't afford them. We get them all the time, and, you know, off the internet and all like that. And we, you know, especially young children or something, we'll sit down from somewhere and write, and we try our best to send them a Bible because we want them to read. You know, it would be great to have a Bible in the hands of everybody around the world. You know, it'd make a better people out of all the people if they'd read it. But see, it's a wonderful book. It's not just a scroll or some kind of paperback or something. See? It's your book. As I always say about it, this is my Bible. I don't know on this one, but Brother Collie used to give me most all of my Bibles, but I really don't remember on this one. I think I bought this one, but still, it's my book. And what I mean by that is it belongs to me. It talks to me. And I can read things out of today, you know, that I used to read and didn't know it was, it, you know, I didn't even know it was in there. You know? I mean, the pages didn't change. You know? But it was just things I didn't even see that was in there. But now I can read it. It's my book. All right? For me. And that's what's in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. And as I said, we'll get to it eventually to see that that one sitting on the throne, it has to be the bride to be able to show and to understand, you know, what it is, and that's what I'm building for. But all right, let's get on into the message this afternoon now. See, we've been speaking about the unfolding of the revelation. I keep going through this because what we're doing is looking at, as I said this morning, now, we're looking from where we are now, we're looking by way of the prophet. As I gave you the quote this morning, the prophet said, these things that are not even, that we're talking about, the seals and that, he said, are not even in our time. It's after we're gone. Just because the prophet come along and said the seals broke in 63, they only broke to him. And that wasn't the breaking of the seals, because they broke in glory 2,000 years ago. See, because that wasn't what it was, and they ain't broke yet. That's the point that is hard to understand. Because they're not broken in reality. We are going to be there when the seals are literally opened in reality. And then will be handed down to Israel. Right? And they won't get a paperback Scofield Bible. You know, or hardbound either one. They get a revelation. 490 something, somewhere right along in there on the seventh seal, the prophet says, see, you missed it. And the Gentiles received it. And says, now the Gentiles have gone into rapture, and that's time to turn to you. See? They'll see who they are by the word. Right? They say, how did you get the nail prints in your hands when there's no corporal standing there? It's not a corporal body of the Lord Jesus standing in the tribulations. It's through the two witnesses and their preaching. They see that those nail prints were put there by them. But see, now you understand what I'm trying to get to then. It's a constant unfolding, but it's unfolding your revelation. Now you know yourself that we used to read the book of Revelations, you know, back when we was an organized religion. We didn't even know what in the world was talking about. We thought there's thrones, and we didn't care if there's four or five of them, or how many of them was there, or what it was, and oh, we just loved the Lord and talked about God being so wonderful and didn't even know who He was or nothing about Him. We had no revelation about what He was trying to do. But now he's trying to reveal himself to you and I. And he's revealing himself not sitting up in heaven. That will take place one day. All right? But he's revealing himself to you and I so that when we get there, it won't be a strange scene. You know? When we get there and see the throne and one on the throne and the book in the hand of the one on the throne and all the elders, we stand and look and say, we heard this on earth. This was revealed to us by the end time messenger, and we see it now just as we've seen it back there just like we see it now. Everything's right in place. See, because it's not just a let's get on with it. See, it's a scene. It's not a verse by verse explaining. It's a scene. And it slowly unfolds. Revelation 4:1. What? John looked up, saw a door opened in heaven, goes into heaven, sees the throne, sees one on the throne, sees the 24 elders, sees the four combat beasts, sees the rainbow round about the throne, see all of those things. But he doesn't see the book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. He just sees one sitting on the throne because that's all that's in Revelation 4:1. All right? But see, in Revelation 5:1, he sees a book in the hand of the one on the throne. What? Progressive understanding, our unfolding of the Word of God as it's being revealed. And that's being revealed to me and you. How did he get on the throne? We went through service after service of those things. How did he get on the throne? Down through the ages. How did he get on the throne? By the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your heart. Right. See, that shows how he got there. So John truly saw where Jesus went. He went up, come right back. Right down in the hearts of the saints. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll receive you unto myself that where I am there you may be also. Where'd he go? Went up, come right back down here. He's not up in heaven now with a hammer and nails making us a home. He's right in here, building us a stature of a perfect man. Because that's the home I want to live in, don't you? I get that. I'm not concerned about it. As I said this morning about the prophet saying, I'll be glad to have my little log cabin. Wouldn't matter to me if I didn't even have a cabin. Wouldn't matter to me if I had to, there ain't no night in the city, I know, but it wouldn't matter to me if there was night there. It wouldn't matter if I had to sleep on the street. I had to get in there, it wouldn't be a problem, would it to you? Oh, it'd be a wonderful time. All right, now. See? We saw that it was not a book like we talk about, a book. See? It's not, it's really not even a scroll. That's the best way of expressing it because of how that it's laid out, you know, a scroll. But still, that's true. That's not it. It's the people that make up the Word. See? And we are truly then a special group of people in the end time to be able to look back and see how we got to where we are. Right. See? People don't understand. Brother Branham, he'd cover, you know, he'd be on a message and he'd cover justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, Martin, you know, Luther, Wesley, Penny. And you think, well, I wish he done said that 30 times in this one sermon. But see, he's trying to get something to you. Getting us to see what has taken place. Getting us to see how those things have transpired upon the earth. And then to see where we're at. And see where we're living. See the hour that we're here on the earth. All right. It's a very special book for a very special people. All right. Because it's a book about you. That's why I titled it up at Brother Jesse's. Title it The Bride's Book. Like you go to a wedding, you know, you have somebody sitting there with a book, you know, and it'll say, you know, June Thomas, Wade Dale, you know, invited you to hear this day, you know. And then it'll have guests. See? And it'll have the best man, the bridesmaids, the things, you know, the all the things written down. It's the book for the bride to take home with her, and she can read about her wedding. And 30 years later, she can take it out. Of course, today, 30 years later, they don't have five books. But Sorry. But, see, they can take the book and sit down and read.
Right.
And they can see who came. It's a record of the people.
Right.
And see, when you look there and you say, Danny Fountain. Well, see, you just don't say, Danny Fountain, you know, Trudy McMillan. You know, you just don't go to your mind automatically when I say Danny Fountain, I think of all the bad and the good. Now, come on. You say, no, you can't do that. A split second, you're actually seeing a picture of a person within your mind, right? See, then you can sit down and read that book and you can say, Gary Atkins. See, you can read. And the names appear and the people appear. That's what God's doing. Okay, let's go on with it now. But now, this is a very special book. It is the Book of Redemption. Now, that's the title to the message. The Book of Redemption. Okay? This was message number 43, I think it is. But it's the Book of Redemption. Now, look what the prophet has to say. Being a book of redemption. I said, well, I've heard so much about the book. Now, we're going to hear some more. Okay. This is taken from the seal book, the third seal, page 233, 630320. Now he rises from the seat. First the announcement went forth. Who is able to come and take this book of redemption? See, for the whole plan of redemption from Adam, all that Adam lost, there was nothing lost until Adam. And after Adam, all was lost in the earth. And everything on the creation of the earth was lost, and everything fell with Adam, crossed the chasm that no one could get back, no way at all. Man, when he sinned, he left his way. He left no way back for himself. All right. And Adam all die. Okay. The Adam sold the human race. He said, oh, it was Eve. No, Adam sold the human race. He could have just said, I refuse to accept Eve, and that would have ended her race. You know. But he didn't. He accepted her sin and walked out of the garden with her. All right. See, because he loved her. All right. Now, but he did, he sold the human race. Because as I said, the scripture said, in Adam all die. He sold us out to sin. We crossed a chasm. All right? There's no way back across that chasm. All right? So that's written in the book of redemption. What? How we fell. The serpent seed, the things that happened in the garden, etc., written in Genesis. All right? But it's written also how that we can get back across. It's in the same book. All right? But see, you understand what I'm saying now? It is the book of redemption. Adam once held that book. So now you know it's not a book. It's not a hardbound or softbound or a scroll or anything. Adam once held that book. Had there not been sin come into the world, then Adam would have spoken the word that would have brought the true seed or the children of God that is written in the Lamb's Book of Life section of the book, the Bible, you know, eternal life section. And that would have come forth and there wouldn't have been anything else. There wouldn't have been a foolish virgin and all of those things. It would have just been that, had it not been any fall. But we know that God knew there was going to be a fall.
Right.
But get the point. Adam had the book.
Right.
Where the problem was, Eve couldn't wait until she could see that Adam had the book.
Right. Amen.
That Adam would have spoke the word.
Right.
But she couldn't wait. She listened to Satan's word. Through a beast.
Right.
And desired revelation.
Right.
Because the beast, he was telling her, hey, look, don't you see all these animals right here reproducing? You're made for that. She said, but Adam hadn't said anything to me about it. Oh, they're withholding it from you because they don't want you to be smart like them. Adam is the son of God. Sure, I agree. And God is God, right? I agree. But they just don't want you to be like them. They don't want you to be smart. They want to keep you, you know, bound down. So she accepted Satan's wisdom. There's the seed of the serpent. The literal act was the seed of the beast. It was no seed of the serpent planted into Eve in a natural sex act. It was the seed of the beast. He used the beast. But the seed of the serpent was planted into her mind. And that's why Paul said that Satan, through his subtlety, would deceive us like he did Eve. Getting through these brains of ours and trying to tell us things. Wrong doctrines and all. But listen, when Adam lost that, what happened to that book? The ability was there to bring forth. The ability was there to bring forth. But yet, when Eve sold out, she gave the product to Adam, and Adam accepted the natural, not as much as to say, I'm just honest to say to you, I don't think Adam turned around and said, God, I don't believe you, I believe that devil. No, he loved Eve. He had a love for Eve. She was part of him. And he knew what he was doing. That's where the trouble's at. That's what's sin. Sin is unbelief. He knew what he was doing, so when he walked out, that was his unbelief. He loved her, but he wanted to keep her. So that he didn't jump out there and believe the devil's lie. He done that to save her by walking out with her or going with her, receiving her, accepting her unto himself. All right. Now when that took place, then Adam no longer had the ability to bring forth. He could no longer speak the word. Whereas in the beginning, the prophet said he wanted a tree moved, he'd just say, tree move. If the wind was blowing a little too strong, he'd just say, wind, you know, calm down a little. So great of an ability till he named all the animals. You know, and the things like that. Alright? But see, then that got lost. Don't you think it was horrible for Adam that when he once walked out of the garden, where all the animals used to come by and lick his hand and he'd talk to them and the great big lions and the elephants and the things were there. Even the prophet said that dinosaurs were back there in the garden. Because that's where to get all these bones from. See, we're not idiots when it comes to Bible comparison to the world. We know that they know what they're talking about. They got bones. But listen, what about when he walked out of there and the first animal walked up to him and just kind of looked at him and Adam said, that's not a look that you had yesterday. Maybe the animal walked away. But as time went on, the animal lost its fear and it began to growl at him. Wasn't long until Adam was running up a tree. He knew he lost something. What did he lose? He lost sonship. Right? Because as a son of God, he was amateur God. So he lost sonship. Really, what did he lose? Now listen to what I'm saying. Because Adam wasn't cursed. Eve wasn't cursed. Now I'm quoting the prophet. The earth was what was cursed. The snake was what got cursed. Then the earth was cursed because of the thorns and the thing. Alright? Now, so here's Adam thinking about all the things he once had. You know, the ability. But he knew it didn't work. What happened? The carnality of his mind took over. He did not have a carnal mind when he was in the garden as the Son of God. But all at once, carnality began to come in. Reasoning began to work. in his mind. And he lost his sonship. He lost his right to the tree of life because he was put out of the garden. And Brother Brown said the tree of life because he was not eternal in body. His body was a creation. The prophet said that the tree of life was in the garden to remind Adam that his youth was being renewed. See, but then he begins to lose things. He begins to reason then. And that's the worst thing in the world for you and I. Because that's what polluted those, you know, those channels, whatever you want to call them, those flues, the prophet would call them. They become polluted by reasonings and things about it. Like I've told you, they didn't tell the man that couldn't even walk, and he finally learned to walk and all. They didn't tell him that he couldn't run the 4-minute mile. They told everybody else they couldn't. So they didn't try. But here's one he just pushed on. See, no one had told him. No one limited him. Right? But see, the carnal mind is the problem for you and I. It's our problem right now. What is he talking about? He's been on this book for sermon after sermon about a book. Well, I know what it was before he ever said the first time. Well, maybe the other person next to you didn't know it. And then if you got it that way and your thoughts is that way, then you don't know what you're talking about. Is that blunt enough? Is that a problem? I don't have any trouble talking like that. Because we show what we are. If we rebel about what somebody is saying, and especially what they're saying is the truth, then for sure we don't understand what the person's doing. Huh? See, listen. When Adam lost that book, that ability, that sonship, it could not go back to Satan. Because that would have made Satan a son. Alright? So what happened? What the prophet said took place. It went back to God who gave it. Page 86, the seal book, and the breach. Because I ask you to please read the breach two or three times before I preach another sermon or two. Because it'll help you to understand what I'm saying. Watch real careful when you get over there to the last of the message today where that he hasn't claimed his possession yet. All right. Page 86. Now the forfeited title deed is now in the hands of the original owner, Almighty God. The title deed to the earth and to eternal life. When Adam forfeited, then Satan's dirty hands could not take it, so it went back to its original owner, God Himself. We're going to find it in just a minute. There He sits on the throne with it in His hand, the title deed. Oh, that makes me feel religious, friends. The title deed to eternal life, abstract title deed to eternal life. When Adam forfeited it for wisdom and instead of faith, it went back to the hands of the owner, Almighty God. What a great thing. All right, waiting. What's it doing? It's in the hands of God, waiting for redemption's claims. He made a way of redemption. He made a way back, and someday the Redeemer is going to take it back. You see where we're getting to now? We'll watch this fella sitting upon the throne, alright? Now listen to him. The book that's in the hand of the one sitting on the throne is the abstract title deed of eternal life. Adam lost sonship. Right? He lost rulership of the earth. He lost the fact that he was an amateur god. The book could not go into Satan's hands. Okay? But the world and mankind, and I said mankind because that would put everything together, was then placed under the curse of the fall. The earth and everything. Under the curse of the fall, see, and it would have to stay that way until something would take place. Now, I'll say this and I'm going to re-preach it, alright? So you'll know what I'm saying. When you receive the new birth, that is the abstract title deed to eternal life for the soul only. Now we'll explain that in a minute. But it is not the full redemption possession of the earth or the bodies we live in. And that's why when the prophet says these things, you'll understand what he's saying. He said he redeemed it, but he's not claimed it yet. There's a difference in redeeming something and claiming it. You know, taking possession of it. Like I told you the other week, the Lord Jesus on the River Jordan, his body was redeemed. But it was 3.5 years later before it was claimed in the change. All right. See, so you and I, we're here by, with eternal life in our soul. Okay. But we wind up. See? Let me just say it this way. When you first got justified, you got a deed. Because this is what I'm preaching now. So listen. When you got justified, you got a deed. But everybody that got justified got a deed. But everybody that got justified didn't go on to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So they don't have an abstract. I ain't talking about the days of Luther and them things now. I'm talking about now. So then you watch that as we go through the message. See, there's something that we've got to cover. So listen to what he says now. 86. This is a continuation of the reading. I just read page 86. Number 2, this is number 4, which is a continuation right on down of the breach. Waiting for redemption's claims. It's redemption. What is this book of redemption? See, there's the title of the message, the book of redemption. This title deed, abstract title deed. You say abstract? What does an abstract mean? It means it starts all the way back to its beginning, like that little drop of ink this morning when it struck that bleach. It went all the way back, and when sin has been confessed and fallen into the blood of Jesus Christ, oh my, it gives an abstract right back to the Creator again, and you become a son of God. Abstract title deed is held in the hand of the Almighty. Oh my. An abstract title deed. Let me just say this much to you. The abstract title deed come back on the day of Pentecost. In the 120 in the upper room. Right? That was the abstract title deed. All right. See, then the rest from there on down would have an abstract. We may not know because we receive the Holy Ghost as an earnest, the 3,000 outside, so we may not know much about the abstract, but it's still an abstract. Right here today, probably, if you had to go back and prove, how many of you could prove that you own your property? Any of you have an abstract? No. There is no abstract title deed in America. The Indian is the closest you could get. Ever who was here before him would be closer than that. See? So when you're going in and put in for a loan, if you pay the cheap way, you go 20 years. To see if it's cleared. You want to make sure that you're a little bit safer, you pay about a couple $100 and they run you a title back for 100 years or something maybe. But remember, you can't go back no further than what America is, and it's just a little over 200. You know. Right. So don't crow about your deed too much. We started to build our home in 65 and we built it, got it hauled up. Went down to put in for a loan. See, I'd made enough money and saved it, and we put in for a loan and the man come up and he said, you don't even own it. I said, well, I do. I got the deed. I even had the backside of the deed where the man sold it to me for $35 a month is what I paid for the property, for the home. And he signed every one of them. I mean, he put every one of them on the back of that deed and gave it to me. You know. But that didn't mean a thing. Because see, there's somebody before him owned the property. Some people had put it up against a debt that they owed to a man that run a store there in Gillsville. Went to him and asked him. Bob House was his name. He said, yeah, I remember Daddy and them when they done that. And said, I remember when the man paid it, but we didn't cancel it. He just signed a paper, handed it, and we took it back. They got a clearance to it. But he could have took that away from me because I had no way of owning it. So don't think you got an abstract. An abstract is a rare word to America. You can only go back as far as what you are. If you want to find your roots, you might have to go back to Africa. Right? You might find more of an abstract doing things like that, but us Americans got problems. But listen, let's get into the message. All right. But see, the abstract means it searched all the way back to the beginning. And watch him. Look at number four. Its redemption means all legal possession to all that was lost by Adam and Eve. Oh my, what ought that to do to a born-again Christian? It's legal possession to the abstract deed. Title deed of eternal life means that you possess everything that Adam and Eve lost. What of it, brethren? The possession of that deed. Adam could not meet the requirements of redemption after he found he was lost. He lost it. He had sinned and he had separated himself from God and was on this side of the chasm. So he could not redeem it. He just couldn't do it because he needed redemption himself, so he could not do it. So there was no way back. All was lost in Adam. In Adam all die. All right. But God, that's why I want you to read the breach because we'll be covering it. God accepted one in our place. God came himself in our place. Not a man. Because one can't die for another, the prophet said. God came himself to be what? Look at the next one, which is Deity 1949, 1225. Run in your computer Kinsman Redeemer and just search all of them. This is the first one that appears, and it was the very one I was looking for, because listen. Like this is preached in 1949, 1225. Like someone was speaking the other day, he said, God, what was he? When he was back yonder, millions and millions of years ago, when he was no, just like this space here, and then he gathered up into the Logos, and then he came from the Logos down into Christ. See, it's just God coming down like this to the earth, then going right back into God again. Don't you see what I mean? Just revolving, coming down from space, from eternity, rolling together, coming down into the Logos, and the Logos down into man, then returning right back again for one purpose, to redeem that man that had fallen. Now that's what he came for, to be a redeemer. And before God could be a redeemer, he had to be, according to the law, a kinsman redeemer. He had to be kinfolks to us. See, that was why he had to come in human flesh. That's why he had to come in human flesh. To be kinfolks to us. Right. Now we could go back and cover, as we're talking about the scrolls, and the things. You remember in going back like in Jeremiah and then when they were going into captivity? They took all of the deeds or the properties, we would call them today. You know, the written up agreements between parties. I own from this river to that tree to this, you know. That's the way the old deeds used to read. And it's kind of funny because you'd say, you're going to the river here. Well, somebody just come along and change the river. You done lost all your property and the other man's got everything because it says river. You know, they don't do that today. They make pins somewhere, you know, and they make a marker for you to be able to keep it lined up. But in the old days, see, as they would be going maybe into captivity, they would take those scrolls, or the deeds as we call it, and roll it up, and they would put it in an earthly vessel and bury it in the ground. Put it in a cave. Put it somewhere where it'd be preserved, where they'd know right where it's at. And if you'd have been over there with us in Israel to see even the Dead Sea Scrolls, which Israel doesn't agree to them to being correct, you know what I'm saying? Because they're New Testament, we call it. Right? But they're so thought of until they're sitting in this building, and if a bomb or any situation comes, the whole floor collapses and it just comes in. They cover it up. See, when they know, they said they know where the Ark of the Covenant is. Because they weren't going to let the people get it. They buried it somewhere. I'm just trying to get a point to you. But listen, when Jeremiah then went in captivity, when they come back, they could take that up and they could read this. Yeah. And they'd say, so-and-so owns this, so-and-so owns this, because it was in an earthly vessel. Now, the book I'm talking about wasn't just in an earthly vessel. It was an earthly vessel. Because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld it as the only begotten Son of God. See? Placed in an earthly vessel, Jesus Christ is the plan of redemption.
Amen.
See? All right? So in that, He's the only kinsman, I don't want to say too much about it, He's the only kinsman who would be able to pay the price. You remember the book of Ruth? I can even see right now the very day and see the very way the bed was sitting in our home in Gillsville. When I first read that, when I heard the prophet talking about the book of Ruth and how that you had the kinsman redeemer and he had to reject this and then you had Boaz to come and all, I remember sitting on the end of the bed reading that to my wife and talking to her about it. Because it just, like I said, I'd read that before because us Baptists, we valued reading the Bible. We had to read it through about once a year. Because if we didn't, we didn't get them gold stars. What was yours? Huh? But you see, and I wanted to read it. But I didn't read that for the first time I read the Bible. You know, I read the words off the page. But then it become alive to me. Huh? But it had to be a special person that could pay the price. Now let's continue to read for a minute and then we'll get back to preaching. Number 5 on your notes, which is page 89. All right, in the Bible, in the book of Ruth, as you read it, you'll find out such a person was called a Goel, G-O-E-L, was called a Goel, or it was a person that could meet the requirements, and the Goel must be able to do it, must be willing to do it, and must be a kinsman next to kinsman to do it, and God, the creator of spirit, became kinfolks to us when He became man in order He could take our sin upon Him and pay the price and redeem us back to God again. There it is. There is the Redeemer. Christ has redeemed us now. We are now redeemed. Listen. But He has not claimed His possession yet. Now you might differ with that, but just hold on a minute. See? We'll see. Read on the next one before we start commenting on it. He hasn't claimed it yet. This is page 90. Same message, the breach. If He took the book of redemption, everything that Adam had and everything that he lost, Christ redeems back. He's already redeemed us, but He hasn't took the possession yet. He cannot until the time appointed, and then will come the resurrection. Now what's He talking about? And then the earth will be renewed again. Then He will take possession, His possession which He got when He redeemed us, but will do it at the appointed time. Oh my. This is described in this seven seal book that we're talking of now, all right? The book of redemption. It's all described in here. All that what Christ will do at the end will be revealed to us this week in the seven seals if God will let us see. All right, it'll be revealed. Now, He said He's redeemed us, but He hasn't claimed us yet, possession. Or what did Paul say? Until the earnest of the inheritance, until the possession of the purchased product.
Amen.
See, now when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, He paid for sins of the soul.
Right.
He redeemed the world because it was already really redeemed there on the River Jordan. Because
right.
He said, this is my part of the earth, Brother Branham is paraphrasing it, that I've redeemed, and from this I'll redeem the rest of it. So the body was redeemed right there on the River Jordan, and the world was redeemed right there. And that's been over 2,000 years ago, and we're still waiting. All right. But now listen to what I'm saying, and we'll read the rest going on down in a minute. See, then the new birth. See, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you get a deed. That's why I said that a moment ago. A lot of people get a deed, and they think they've got an abstract. They get a deed. A deed that says you have a right to eternal life. But the abstract title deed doesn't say you have a right to eternal life. The abstract says you have eternal life. Alright? See, then that abstract, once it comes, it's searched all the way back. And when God came down and gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I wish we could get this. Everybody shake yourself and listen. Please understand this statement. If you don't get nothing out of the message today and just reject the rest, listen to this. When Jesus Christ died, He paid the price. He redeemed us. And when He gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that gave eternal life to the soul. There's your abstract. There's not anything against you. Now we'll get that in a minute, so don't go too far, just listen. He wouldn't give you the new birth if there's anything against you. I wish we would understand one thing. I've heard people make this statement. I wish I could be like Jesus where He could have said, I'm pleased to dwell. You ever heard people talk like that? Wouldn't it be something to where that God could say He's pleased to dwell in us? Now let me hit that on the head real hard. Do you have the new birth? I'm asking you, do you have the new birth? Then God is pleased to dwell in you. The only difference is in the sexual human body that we're living within that's perverted in the carnality of our mind that we fight in comparison to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when He gave you that new birth, He cleansed and claimed your body. That's why I don't believe in getting another one. Oh, if I could just hear Him say, well done. What do you think you're hearing? If I could just comprehend that He would be pleased to dwell in me. Do you have the new birth? Well, He's pleased to dwell in you. But I just don't understand. I don't understand how He's pleased to dwell in me either. I'll agree with you, and I hope you agree with me. I don't understand how He's pleased to dwell in me, but I don't question Him. I take His word. Because if I question Him, I find out there's a lot wrong with me, that it don't look like He ought to be living in there. Right? That's why in the stature of a perfect man is so important. Because there are parts of us that is not complete when we receive that new birth. Your soul is not complete. It just has the earnest. It has eternal life. I'm quoting Brother Branham. There's places in there that needs something done. Now, not sin laying in there. I've heard it preached that way. Don't do that now. Please. Because God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. God won't dwell in your soul and sin in there at the same time. Now just forget that. But see, there's places in there that we haven't opened the doors for Him. We still got little temper problems. We still got little troubles and things. I know it's a carnality of the human mind, but that's the best way I can speak to you. You see, back in the old Indian days, you know, the people going out and taking the property from the Indian. They start raising their crops and their cattle and their things. They didn't destroy the Indian, did they? They just moved him back. All right. And see, you couldn't conquer the territory because you're always having trouble with the Indian. But one day the cavalry came and the Indian was taken off the land and moved out to another place. Is that right? See, Jesus said it. He said, occupy until I come. Occupy until I come. Because when I come, I'm going to take over. Who was it with Joshua when he went out there and saw the man standing there, grabbed his sword and run out there after him? So you force you against me? He said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. Well, you better believe Joshua throwed his sword down and bowed down before him because he knew who he was. I didn't come to take sides, he said. I come to take over. Jesus said, occupy until I come. Why? Because when you get the new birth, you get the earnest of your inheritance. That's not the completion of the soul. The stature of a perfect man brings the soul into a completion stage. Because that's the abstract, if you caught what I said a moment ago, on the day of Pentecost, when the abstract fell, that means it searched all the way back. Well, when I first got the new birth, even in this message, I knew all about what Brother Brown said, abstracts and this, that, strat, didn't you? But I didn't know how to search it back. I didn't know what he's talking about. He said the seal shows how to search that book. How do you search a book? The stature of a perfect man has been coming into our soul. To bring in his divine nature. And as it does, it's cleaning out all of the squatters. That's where our trouble is. We like the squatters. Right? Door in doors, didn't the prophet say, you can come in, but just don't go through the rest of my house. I've got doors closed up, but you can't go in. We've got to open those doors and let God captivate us all the way. But just remember what I said. On the day of Pentecost, they didn't get just a deed. They got an abstract title deed to eternal life for the soul. And Paul said it, until the earnest of inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. It was purchased. Jesus Christ don't have to get back on the cross and die again to try to get redemption for your body or for this world. No, he done it at Calvary. But it couldn't be applied. That's what I just read to you. He said, he has not claimed his possession yet. Now you might differ with that, but just hold it a minute. That's what your prophet said. You might differ. You see, you think, oh, when I got the Holy Ghost, it just swept away everything. I don't have no more problems. And I'd rather have a rattlesnake around my neck than to have a necktie. That was the way the old Pentecostals preached it, wasn't it? Because they thought that was searching the deed. Wouldn't wear a watch. Wouldn't wear rings, right? I'm not throwing off on them. Because those people back there were living for God, doing the best they could. But it's kind of like Brother Moat said, he was in church one time, and this old preacher, you know, he wanted to know what time it was. Well, he didn't want to take his pocket watch out, you know. And he wouldn't like a lot of you do, and I do too sometimes, you know, somebody getting a little long, you go. And then you grin, you know, like he didn't see me look doing like that. You know. Right? Yeah. And then when they shake it and hold it up, think it's quit. But Brother Moat said, this old fella said, he was up talking, you know, and he said, let's sing. He got him to sing and said, let's worship the Lord. Raise your hand. Close your eyes. Worship. He said, I kept my eyes open. He said, that fella throwed his hand up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, checking what time it was. Because they didn't believe in wearing a watch. But now those people live for God. So let's don't throw off on them. Not making light of them. When we get there, we'll be tickled to death to see them. But listen. When you got the new birth, it did not give your body the new birth. Your spirit did not get the new birth. You got a new spirit because you couldn't stand your old self the way it was. Because that's what Ezekiel says. You got a new spirit by justification, yeah. Sure, you got a claim laying on the body that started dealing with sanctification. To try to bring us to a place to where God could inhabit all of us. But this body has to be changed. The prophet said, we can't meet Jesus in these kind of bodies. We've got to have a change. But not another body. But a change of these bodies. And that'll take place where we read it. In the resurrection. He hasn't took possession yet. He cannot until the time appointed. Then will come the resurrection. Alright? He's going to take possession one day of us. Then there's going to come a resurrection. He's going to do what I said this morning. He's going to become so visible among us, he's going to raise the dead and we'll go into rapture, but he won't be physically corporal. Not corporal. But so close to corporal, how close is it? I'll just go ahead and say what I think. I think he'll be here in theophany. Now how much difference is there between the theophany of the Lord Jesus and the body of the Lord Jesus? The only difference is one's on the throne in heaven, the other one's here on earth trying to guide you and I. That's what Brother Branham saw when he was out there in that schoolhouse where it was built, where he later preached marriage and divorce. He saw him standing there. What, in theophany? All right, but listen, folks. You get the abstract when you receive the new birth. You just don't know what that is. You just don't know what it is. Because everybody preaches. I'm not throwing no stones at nobody, but everybody preaches. Oh, we get the new birth. Oh, we got eternal life. But you never was in the Baptist and listened to them. They preach one service, is none good, no, not one. They drove you to hell. They preach the next service, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, and everybody got the Holy Ghost has gone to heaven. I mean, that's the way it was preached. Because they couldn't ever get it together. Danny's smiling because he must remember some of them. They couldn't get it together. We couldn't do it. We knew we had a deed. We knew we talked about eternal life. But see, Brother Branham's the only one when he come in talking about an abstract title deed. And that's the reason I've given you that in 49. He was talking back in there. Go run that abstract in there. And you only have it in the seal book and on over as far as the word abstract. But he already knew about the title deed to redemption. He knew about eternal life in 49, 47. He knew about that when he first started. You know what I'm talking about when he began his preaching. Because he preached eternal life. Eternal life to you and I. Alright? The new birth. The new birth. The real genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not you just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not even you getting sanctified and quitting your smoking and cussing and raising canes and doing things like that. Not even that. But when you receive the new birth, the abstract title deed is placed within you. But you don't know how to search back, and you still, even when you get to the abstract of the faith of the fathers, you're still having problems in the human element. The human element still has problems, spirit and body. Still has problems, right? Why? Because we don't have an abstract applied to the body. I said applied. It has been paid for. Redemption's claim was done at Calvary. Redemption was over when Jesus Christ died upon the cross. It was over really before the foundation of the world. Alright? But see, it wasn't applied. Just as it said, Jesus, the prophet said his body was redeemed on the River Jordan, but 3.5 years before it was actually applied to that body to make that body eternal. But that abstract, the prophet said, the Holy Ghost is the most important thing in the world to you. Because it gives you an abstract. It searched back. Alright, it searched back to see. But then when you realize it, we started searching then, right? Now you understand what I'm saying when we come in the message. Because didn't the prophet say this messenger of Malachi 4 do two things? One, turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Two, reveal the seven thunders, which is revelation contained in the seven seals. It'll be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn our hearts back. That's in the church age book. All right. And see, when you receive the new birth, you might have got the new birth before you heard of the message. Doesn't matter. Because the new birth you received after you heard of the message was no different than the Holy Ghost you would have received before you heard the message. Because it's the Holy Ghost that come on the day of Pentecost with the 3,000 outside. That's why Azusa Street, as Brother Harris was bringing Wednesday, Azusa Street had the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. But it wasn't the faith of the fathers. No, but it was a genuine abstract. But we didn't even know what it was. Even it took the prophet to bring all the message. That's why he had to preach it and go all the way through. Because it'd be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn us back. See, now we have the ability to what? By the growth, development of the Word, to climb the stature of a perfect man. To clean out the squatters. Bringing us back to understand what an abstract really is. What an abstract title deed is really is. It means it searched all the way back. Alright? So what is happening now by the growth of the Word? You're searching to see if there's anything against us, right? Isn't the growth development of the stature of a perfect man searching to see what's wrong? Searching to find out what we need? We think, well, we're doing pretty good. And then about that time, God reveals something to you and we find out how bad we are. Is that true?
That's right.
And we would think, man, I'm doing pretty good. And all at once he said, but look what you've done. Like Brother Branham was talking about, you know. He said, I never lied. He said, in front of that light, the least little thing come up in his face. See, I never stole nothing. The least little thing come up. You know. Like Brother Moat said, the Bible don't say you stole chickens, so I never stole no chickens. You know. But listen. Searching out your identity in the soul that has been given eternal life. That's the searching of the book. Do you understand that? I want to make that point straight and hard. Do you understand that when you received the new birth, you was a baby? Child. Desiring the sincere milk of the word the disciples would write. See? Just an earnest of our inheritance. But then as we receive the prophet's message, whether you read in 47 or whether you read in 65, God revealing Himself to you. And it can't be done without, now I'm going to really lay this hard so you'll understand. You can't climb the stature of a perfect man being taught two souls, seventh unto virtue, Perusias, River Jordans, etc. That will not climb the stature of a perfect man. So you see what a lot of people's wasted a lot of time listening to a lot of junk that never took them nowhere. I'm not afraid to say that on the internet or anywhere. Come and let's talk about it. Oh, but we've got a church over here where the people are wonderful. Oh, they love the Lord. Give me about 2 minutes with them and let's see who they love. Let me start asking a few questions. And let's see who they love. Now, you're going to get the point now. It's only by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how many messages back do you want to go to? Only by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart puts Him back on the throne in your heart. Now, that's exactly what the stature of a perfect man is. Putting God on the throne of your heart. By the revelation that goes through your head. And there ain't no other way of saying it but that. But it goes into the soul. To the heart. And the growth development begins by the stature of a perfect man. And you see him in Revelation 4:1. You see him first as one sitting on the throne. You say, oh glory, we see one God. Then you see a book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. What are you doing? Your growth development is developing within you of the stature of a perfect man to return him back to the original position. What are you doing? Now I'm trying to say this for the point to later. You're searching the deed. You're searching your life, taking the deed that's been given unto you and searching out the property outlay as you would on a natural deed. You know, you get a deed of a piece of property, what do? You get a guy to come out and he said, okay. He says, here you got 20 acres, and I get tickled at it because, see, they know that they can miss a hair, and so they, when they write your deed out, they say 20.2 thirds or 20.73 or something. Maybe what they got on it, no, 23. They 20.23 more or less. Yeah. Because, see, they know they can't be perfectly accurate. That doesn't mean they can't accurate exactly what it is there. Because they can measure it with these GPSs now within this almost nothing, a hair. But if you're off a hair, it's still more or less. Look at that going down the road sometime, you'll think about it. And when you think about it, think about what I'm trying to say. All right? See, when you get that property, you get somebody to come out and you say, well, everybody agrees right here is number one. We got a stake here. Terrence has got one in his backyard that's off about 10 or 12 feet. He never did argue with him about it because it was the original. Well, the original, the man that told it, he drove it down. Well, that was the best that could be done. But when they shot the line and strung it straight, it wasn't supposed to, it was supposed to went over and back down, he lost about 6 or 8 feet because there's a stake drove up. It's still out there in that pasture right behind him. But you see, you get somebody and you find stake number one. You don't have to find them all. Because it says so many degrees this way, so many degrees that way, so many feet, so many. Then you can just measure it out. And you go through the woods, what are you doing? You're chopping away the trees to where you can run the transit, and you're also marking them. Right? You're trying to mark it to where you'll know where the line is. Now that's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost has been doing. It's been going around cleaning that line for us. Showing us exactly where the line is supposed to be. Showing where everything is set right in order. Showing you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, searching out your life to try to find anything. Now if you can take that simple illustration and apply it to the opening of the seals, you won't be tied up in what is searching the book? How do you search a book? You search back through it, see if there's anything wrong. And if you search the Bible back, you're going to find every one of us in Genesis with a horrible situation. Of course, that's where the people of the message are so spiritual now. They're not that away. Oh, I've always was eternal. Well, if you always was eternal, then you had no place you fail. So if you had no place you fail, you can't be restored. You see what all of the things is happening with the people of the message? I know what the prophet said. If you have eternal life, the eternal life you have always was eternal. Because that's your abstract. But see, that abstract is in that soul. And it builds up to the stature of a perfect man. Back to the faith of the Father. Then it starts knowing what the seals are and what's taking place. How to search back. And how to clean all of that. Oh, where do we get on over there? How did we go back and we find out that there's Ruth back there? How that there's Rahab the harlot? How was it that Rahab could be justified enough to marry the Israeli general and out of there come Boaz, which from there came Christ? Now can you explain that? We've got to be able to search the book all the way back to Genesis, not just search it back to Calvary. When you're searching it back for the body of the earth, how are you going to search it all the way back? You've got to know where you're at. But see, people are just concerned with being searched back to Calvary. You've got to go all the way back to the beginning. It's a wonderful situation. We are a blessed people. But listen. He said he's redeemed it, but he hasn't claimed possession. He's redeemed it. He hasn't claimed possession. All right. I'll finish these up. I'll just basically go through what I'm talking about. Because you'll find the rest of them, from the Easter seal, God's provided place of worship. Brother Joe has these on the thing. He's talking about an abstract title deed of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The ones I gave you today are talking about an abstract title deed of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The new birth. Read them. That's an abstract. Means it's searched all the way back and there's nothing in your soul. If you just got the new birth today, there's nothing in your soul that's wrong. God wouldn't come in there if it was. And He's pleased to dwell. But then start searching it. Lord, what do I need? What do I need, Lord? You're talking about an abstract, Lord. What do I need? You read these others on the abstract. Talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost being the abstract. The title deed of redemption. The book of redemption being revealed. But we only dealt with it for the soul. Because that's why the seals has to be broken. The seals have to be broken to show the complete plan of redemption for soul, body, and world. Everything has to be redeemed. Already been by Calvary, yeah, but not applied. Brother Branham said Israel was redeemed at Calvary, but said it wouldn't apply to them. It ain't applied yet. It ain't applied until we go into rapture. When you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your body was claimed right there. That's why you don't get a new one. It was cleansed and claimed. And all you got to do is just keep searching that deed in the soul. Start with the soul. Don't worry about the body. Everybody's always tried to get the body some way. That's why they do like and preach like they preach. And I believe in preaching the truth. But that's why 99% of the preachers preach on clothes. Now, I don't mean this wrong, because I believe in clothesline holiness. I've got more thoughts about me than I ever even produced from a pulpit about legalism. You wouldn't think I am, but I am. Things I look at. But listen, most preachers only preach trying to get a body lined up. I'm not trying to get your body lined up. I'm trying to get you born again. Because if I can get you born again, it'll take care of your body. But I can beat you to death every service about your hair, your clothes, and this and that and the other, and the things you do and don't do. And the next service, you'll come right back just shouting glory, hallelujah. Look how you beat on us. We went to church and had a good time. But when somebody tries to preach this amazing grace of Jesus Christ, of what God has done for us, it's always been rejected. It's easy to preach about do's and don'ts, but it's hard to preach by revelation. But if I can get the revelation of Jesus Christ to you by a new birth, your body will line up. Sure, we got human problems in our bodies, and will until the change comes. You will never come until you conquer your body. That's where the problem is. People are trying to conquer their body to bring a rapture. No. Get into Christ and let Him take over. Do you think we're going to go finally to a place that nothing's going to bother us? We're just going to, nothing don't even bother. We don't hungry. We don't have to sleep. We don't have to do nothing. Well, Brother Dale, I didn't know it went that way. I was just talking about these little problems I have. Well, if you got little problems, there's just bigger problems about sleeping and eating. You can't do it. You can't conquer the body. You can only bring it under subjection to the one that's within you. Now listen, please listen. That doesn't mean that you don't bring it under subjection and you go out and live like the devil and say, I can't help it. Brother Dale never taught nothing like that. I didn't teach that as a Baptist. I surely wouldn't teach it now after the Word of God being revealed. That you can live like the devil, like Brother Biscoe said. You see a fox tail sticking out of a hole, it's a pretty good sign you got a fox in that hole. You see somebody going out and living like the devil, it's a good sign the Holy Ghost is not in that soul. See, I try to preach deliverance. Get you delivered. Then you ain't got no more problems with it. But you understand what I'm saying? I'm holding it only for the soul today. Because then we're going to get into the one not worthy. Then we're going to get down to where we live. But this book of redemption shows the redeemed. Let the redeemed say so. Come on, brother. Let the redeemed say so. The psalmist there said, incontinuous was my members' fashion when he's yet not perfect, but they were placed in a book. God don't look at our imperfection. He looks at the blood. There is not a human in the world, Brother Branham, nor anyone that is able to stand before a living God without an atonement. See, that's where people don't like it, the way I talk like that. But you tell me and show me where it is. I'll show you where the prophet said he's not worthy. But see, they got him preached so high up until they got him to where that he's the one coming to John on Patmos and this and that and the other. But listen, church, no man is worthy Now, you better listen. Because if you want, if, see, people don't understand how I can preach it in a way. Let me just say it like this. No man is worthy to take the book. Then there's nobody ever took the book. Unless the kinsman's redeemer was God. He could come become flesh and. But if he didn't become flesh, no man is worthy. Brother Branham, I'll give you a direct quote out of the seal book. He said, no man that ever lived on the earth. Now, did Jesus live on the earth? Was Jesus a man? You see how I could preach it? Boy, I could, you could, no, no, no. Because that ain't right. See, no man is able to die for another man. So then that man wasn't a man. You say, what do you mean? He was God. Created in a flesh. From the very blood of God. Now we can find somebody worthy. Might order hell that till next, about Wednesday. But you can think about it. The prophet said all of the sages and all the prophets was there. He said, but nobody worthy. Now here's the key to what he said. He said, there's all there that ever died. He said, what are you saying? Because see, at that time, Brother Branham wasn't alive on the earth when that was statement was made about it. That no man's worthy. But when he come on earth, he wasn't worthy either. There's only one person ever been worthy, and that's the Almighty God that could create a flesh and step down in it and be in no connection to man except one thing, looking like man. He was man in every point of looks. But he was not man in that flesh. That flesh was just a flesh that was created. You see why I keep preaching on the Godhead? Let's stand. Amen. Because that's the only thing to preach. The unfolding of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, okay. 119 in the red book. Search the deed. The sure. This mind. Oh, what a foretaste. That's why that Holy Ghost is the most important thing that we could ever think of. Because it brings you an abstract. It puts you in a position that you can search the book. Washed in His blood. This is my story. And this is my song. What? Praising my Savior all the day long. Right. This is my story. And this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above. What I like about it is when it was talking about, who was it there? The angels ascending and descending. We always want them to descend, but they got to ascend from where we are. They go up and take our offering. They come back and bring us the revelation. They go up and take them seraphim, take our repentance.
That's our prayers. Our crying out unto God for forgiveness. And when they do, then they bring back the revelation of His Word. So it's angels ascending and descending. Because angels are encamped about those who fear Him. Anybody have a need? Perfect submission. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Brother Richard's been having a lot of problems. I want to give him a prayer cloth, but I want to lay hands on him too. Pray for him. I want him to put this prayer cloth in his billfold. I'm never without one in mine. And I can honestly tell you to this day, my billfold's never been empty since I put one in there. It might not have all I needed, but it's never been empty. Believe and receive. Father, our brother has been to the doctors and done all they can do. They've told him it's this, they've told him it's that. They've done everything they could, and we thank you, Father. We appreciate the doctors and things for doing what they can for the human body. But Father, they can't heal it. Only you are the healer. So now we lay our hands upon our brother in commemoration of thy word and talking about the abstract title deed. Talking about the things that you've revealed unto us. Talking about your word and how that you've revealed it. We know, Father, that we don't have any power. If we did, we would deliver our brother. But we have authority to lay hands upon him by thy word. And Father, for the what that you know is in our heart and what we're thinking. And Lord, as we sit and pray, we believe you to bring a message that we can preach unto your people. And then it's not challenging us. It's challenging your word. This demon of sickness is challenging the word of God. But we believe you are the healer, Father. We believe you're the one in control, and we condemn this sickness, this weakness. And we command Satan to leave in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We believe your word, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus is your name. Father, just give our brother strength. Give him strength, Father, to the body. We know we stood here one night, Father, when Brother McGarity was standing here and he was so weak he couldn't even hardly stand up. And we held on to him, Father. But we believe what it said there in the book of Acts, that they took a hold of the man that was on the ground and they picked him up and he still had weakness and they held him. But strength came back. We believe the same thing is taking place in our brother right now. The strength is coming to our brother's body. We love you, Father, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else that have a need? Just come and believe. Believe and see. See whether God is real now. Working God, we have a miracle. It's what you can believe. If I was the biggest hypocrite in the world, all kind of problems. But if you believe that if I laid my hands on you, that God would heal you, you'll get your healing. But it's based on what you believe. It's based on what you can believe about it. But then when we believe that we're trying to live for God and do the best we can, how much more certain are we about the Word? Just think about it. We have a miracle working God. And I expect it. I'm not just preaching something of a word form that... No, I believe in the power of God to deliver a group of people. But it's only when the people accept the deliverance can they have it. It's only when you say it's mine can you have it. I've told you what to do. I've told you when you're sitting there and God speaks to your heart about the word that you're hearing, and that spirit within you agrees to what's being said and says, that's right. Right then to say, thank you, God, for healing me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my children, my husband, my wife, what? Just say it. Because you're in a realm. Sister Hattie Wright sitting there that day. Brother Branham talking. She said, Brother Branham, that ain't nothing but the truth. He just turned right back to her and said, I'd give you anything you ask for. That same God is still alive. Take one to Sister Johnny too, okay? Father, our brother wants a prayer call for his mother. Lord, we know that by your stripes she's healed. She's getting up in age, but that has nothing to do with you. So we pray that you would touch our brother's mother and make all things well. And we send one to Sister Johnny, Lord, that you hurt her back. We pray that you would just touch her, Father. Let all things be well in Jesus' name. For the King is there. Wave it high in the sky and let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. So wave it high in the sky. Let the whole world know that the King is in right. Now, if they had a gun pointed at you and say, raise your hands. Now, I don't think that would be the way it would be. And I'm not throwing off on somebody this week and can't do it. I'm just talking, all right? But see, somebody throw a gun right in your face and say, stick your hands up. You man, that minor. Get the ceiling out of the way where I get it hot. That's far as I can go, sir. But see, now let's sing that again and think about it. There is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart. The castle of my heart. The castle of my heart. There is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart. For the King is in residence there. Right now, wave it high in the sky and let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. So wave it high in the sky and let the whole world know. For the King is. Remember, the service is Wednesday. Pray one for another. You're dismissed. Is a flag. Father, just bless everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey in Jesus' name. Of my heart. The castle of my heart. There is a